big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at OmahaSteaks.com. That's OmahaSteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Deep Dives. We take your sources, could be articles, research notes, and we basically pull out the key insights. Our goal, simple, give you a shortcut to getting up to speed, hopefully with some, you know, surprising details and maybe a little bit of humor along the way. Today, we're diving into something pretty heavy, an event that really shook a lot of people. The political assassination, as it's being called, of Charlie Kirk happened on a Utah college campus. And what's really striking here beyond the awful act itself is just how fast the investigation moved. The capture of the suspect. I mean, remarkably quick.
Yeah, it's incredibly efficient. And that's really our focus today. Trying to piece together who this suspected gunman, Tyler Robinson, is. And also mapping out that really remarkable sequence of events that led to him being caught. We're basing this on, you know, the best info available. Official statements from Utah Governor Spencer Cox, FBI Director Kash Patel,
right,
and also reporting from places like Fox News and ABC News. They've got details from law enforcement, people who actually knew Robinson.
And look, there are still a ton of unanswered questions about the killing itself. We need to be clear about that. But what's fascinating is how quickly a picture, however incomplete, started to form.
Exactly. Officials, people close to him, they've begun assembling this portrait of the alleged gunman. And that's what we want to explore with you now.
Okay, so let's start with the capture itself, because the big question right after it happened was, how long will this take? And the answer came, well, surprisingly fast.
Yeah, Governor Spencer Cox basically stepped up the very next morning, September 12th, just over a day later.
Mm.
And he was very direct, stood there and said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Wow, just like that. Powerful.
Very. It immediately signaled, you know, the end of that initial manhunt phase. But how they got him, that's where it gets really interesting. And maybe not what you'd expect. Tyler Robinson's own family played a huge role.
His family? How so?
Well, Governor Cox explained that Robinson's father saw the pictures law enforcement put out, and he recognized his son.
Oh, wow. That must have been difficult.
Unimaginably difficult. And he didn't just recognize him. He apparently told Tyler, his son, to turn himself in.
And did he?
Initially, no. Robinson apparently refused.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can maybe understand the panic or denial in that moment, but officials say he did later change his mind.
Okay, so he changed his mind. How did that lead to the arrest?
This is the crucial part. Mm-hmm. The father then contacted someone else, a youth pastor. And this youth pastor also happened to be a U.S. Marshals Task Force officer.
No kidding. Talk about a coincidence.
Right. So it wasn't just a call for spiritual guidance. The officer advised Robinson, stay put, don't move.
Okay.
And that critical info, Robinson's location, was immediately passed to the FBI. That's how they were able to find him.
Yeah.
Without, you know, a standoff or a further incident.
That's incredible. It really shows how different pieces have to fall into place. The father's decision, the pastor's role.
Absolutely. And Governor Cox made a point of publicly thanking the family, saying they did the right thing. Which, I mean, reporting your own son in a situation like this, it's profound. And connect that to the overall speed. FBI Director Kash Patel said they had Robinson in custody within 33 hours of the shooting.
33 hours? That's really fast for something like this.
Extremely fast. And even faster. Patel mentioned law enforcement were actually on the scene of the incident within 16 minutes.
16 minutes. So a very rapid response from the start.
Exactly. So just good protocols, good coordination.
Okay, so the capture was incredibly swift, thanks in large part to the family. But you mentioned things get weird with the evidence. What did they find?
Well, once they knew who they were looking for, they talked to his roommate. Standard procedure.
Right.
And the roommate gave them text messages between him and Robinson.
And what did they say? anything revealing.
Oh, definitely. They detailed Robinson needing to, and I quote, retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush.
A drop point? Leaving it in a bush? That sounds planned? Calculated?
It really does. Suggests premeditation, doesn't it? Not a spontaneous act.
And the rifle itself, what do we know about that?
It was described as an older model, imported Mauser .306 caliber bolt-action rifle. And it was wrapped in a towel.
A Mauser .3006. That's a pretty powerful common hunting round, right? Bolt-action means more accuracy, less rapid fire.
Exactly. Known for reliability and accuracy. The older model imported part might suggest it wasn't recently bought through typical channels. Maybe harder to trace.
Hmm.
And law enforcement sources said its location, where they found it, seemed to match the route Robinson took. Again, pointing to a plan.
But it's the stuff at the scene that's really captured attention, isn't it? The shell casings.
Yes. This is where it goes from tragic crime to something stranger. They found three unfired casings near the scene, and they had things written on them. Engraved, apparently.
Engraved. What did they say?
Okay, so one read, "Hey, fascist, TCH." Then it had some symbols, an arrow pointing up, then right, then three arrows pointing down.
"Hey, fascist, case, she, H." That's blunt, aggressive, and politically charged, obviously. What about the others?
The second one had lyrics from a song. It read, "Oh, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, 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 Ciao."
Bella Ciao. Isn't that the Italian anti-fascist anthem? Became famous with partisans in World War II.
That's the one. So you have "Hey, fascist" on one casing and lyrics from a famous anti-fascist song on another. It seems to paint a pretty clear ideological picture, or at least the one being projected.
Okay, so maybe a clear motive there. Anti-fascist anger directed at Kirk. But there was a third casing, right? And that one was different.
Yeah. Very different. The third one just said, "If you read this, you are gay LMAO."
Sorry, what? Gay LMAO? Like an internet meme.
Essentially, yes. LMAO. Laughing my... Well, you know.
So you go from fascist and Bella Ciao to that. That's jarring. What do officials make of it?
They're scratching their heads, too, publicly, anyway. The meanings are, let's say, unclear. There's speculation, even from officials, that maybe it was misdirection, trying to confuse investigators.
Misdirection? Like, throw in something nonsensical to muddy the waters about the motive.
Possibly. Governor Cox basically said the fascism reference speaks for itself, but he didn't really elaborate on the others. The gay LMAO one, it adds this layer of, I don't know, juvenile absurdity. Or maybe dark humor. It complicates things.
It really does. It could be misdirection, or it could just be a reflection of a really chaotic or contradictory mindset, maybe, combining serious political anger with, like, internet troll language.
Exactly. It's perplexing. Was it all performance?
Mm-hmm.
A message meant for later interpretation, however confusing. We just don't know yet.
Okay, so the evidence is bizarre. The capture was fast. Let's try to understand the person at the center. Who is Tyler Robinson?
Right. Let's build that portrait. Basic details. He's 22 years old. He actually did a semester of engineering at Utah State back in 2021.
Engineering, okay.
But more recently, he was at Dixie Technical College, which is a trade school, studying to be an electrician. Lived with his family in Washington County, Utah.
So, seems like a shift from university engineering to a practical trade. Interesting. What about political views? The casings suggest strong ones.
Governor Cox mentioned that Robinson had apparently become more political in recent years. That's often a factor in these kinds of cases.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this specific anecdote. Apparently, Robinson had dinner with a family member, mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to town, and they both talked about disliking Kirk, his views.
Okay.
The family member apparently said Kirk was, quote, full of hate and spreading hate. So that suggests a shared dislike, at least within that part of his circle.
And his own official record, voter registration?
She's registered as an inactive voter.
Mm.
No party affiliation listed.
Inactive, no party. Okay. What about his parents?
Interestingly, both his parents are registered Republicans.
Hmm, okay. And law enforcement is looking at family social media, right? Anything pop up there?
Yeah, they're reviewing it. Some details have emerged in reports.
Ugh.
The father's Instagram, for example, reportedly had memes critical of Democrats.
Okay.
And after the 2024 election, which, remember, Trump won, the father posted a picture of a sunset captioned, "A New Dawn for America." So that points towards a conservative viewpoint there.
Right. And the mother.
Her Facebook, back in August 2020, had a post calling Tyler a genius, hoping he'd choose a Utah college. It even included, apparently, a screenshot of an ACT score.
An ACT score? How'd he do?
34.
Wow, 34 that's extremely high, like 99th percentile, right?
Exactly. So it suggests, you know, significant intellectual ability. academic talent.
Okay, so genius level intellect. Parents are registered Republicans. Father posts pro-Trump things. Anything else from social media?
There was one more from the father's Instagram, this one from 2017. It showed Tyler and his younger brother with a dead deer.
A hunting picture.
Yeah, the caption was, first black powder buck. Good job, boys.
Black powder. So muzzleloader hunting, that suggests some familiarity with firearms, maybe hunting experience. Relevant, given the rifle.
Potentially very relevant, yes. Mm-hmm. Experience handling firearms, maybe marksmanship.
Okay, so we have this picture emerging.
Yeah.
Smart, family has political leanings, some hunting background. But what about people who knew him outside the family? Friends, classmates.
And this is where the picture gets complicated. Contradictory, even. A classmate who knew him for years said they were stunned. Absolutely shocked.
How did they describe him?
Friendly, but maybe a little more reserved. Crucially, this classmate said they never really heard him talk political, never heard him express hate or malice.
Never talk politics. That seems hard to square with the engraved casings.
It does. And this classmate also said they never heard him talk about guns.
Wow. Okay. So a very different image from that perspective, almost like he kept that side of himself hidden.
It certainly seems that way. It raises questions about, you know, how well we really know people, even acquaintances.
Yeah.
How much radicalization, if that's what happened here, can occur completely unseen.
It's like trying to assemble a jigsaw puzzle with pieces from different boxes. What about neighbors? Did they see this coming?
Not at all, based on the reports. Neighbors described the Robinson family generally as loving and quiet.
Loving and quiet.
One neighbor, Kristen Schwerman, knew him from when she worked as a custodian in his elementary school. She called him a good kid, so he was very active, very, very smart, but also that he stayed to himself mostly.
Yeah.
She described the parents as very loving, the family as hardworking, down to earth.
Okay. Any other neighbor accounts?
Another one, Alenia Shaw, remembered him from when he was younger doing odd jobs for money. Called him just a cute little boy.
Mm.
But she also echoed the sentiment that the family was not very social, that they kept to themselves.
So the consistent theme seems to be smart, quiet, kept to himself, family also somewhat private. Doesn't sound like someone outwardly signaling violence or extreme politics to neighbors or casual friends.
Not at all. Which makes the alleged act and those very loud messages on the casings even more jarring.
Hmm.
It highlights that gap between the internal world and the external presentation.
Definitely. Okay, let's zoom out again to the investigation itself. Beyond just catching him, what else was going on?
Well, before they got the tip from the father, the scale of the effort was huge. Authorities had received over 7,000 tips and leads.
7,000?
Yeah. Imagine sifting through all that. And they had already done about 200 interviews, all within that first roughly day and a half.
That's a massive amount of police work in a very short time. Shows the priority, the resources poured in.
Absolutely. It reflects both the public outcry and the serious nature of the incident. But it also shows the challenge, right? Separating useful information from, well, noise, especially when emotions are high.
For sure. And the investigation isn't over just because he's caught, right?
Not by a long shot. FBI Director Patel stressed, this is very much an ongoing investigation. The arrest is just one step.
So what happens now? What are they still looking for?
The big thing is motive, the why. Those casings offer clues, but they're confusing. They'll be digging deep into his digital footprint, his associations, trying to understand the path that led him here. Forensics, maybe looking for accomplices, influences.
Yeah.
That all takes time.
Right. Understanding the why is often the hardest part.
Exactly. And likely the longest part of this whole process.
So let's try to wrap this up for you, our listener. This deep dive, it's really pulled together a lot of threads, hasn't it?
It really has.
We started with that incredibly fast capture, Governor Cox's announcement, we got him, and the absolutely critical, difficult role his own family played.
Yeah, that's a key takeaway. And then the evidence, I mean, those engraved casings, fascist, Bella Chow, and then Gail Mao, just bizarre and contradictory.
Right. It raises so many questions about intent, about messaging, and then trying to build a portrait of Tyler Robinson himself.
Yeah. The smart kid, former engineering student, now training as an electrician, family with Republican leanings, but he's unaffiliated, hunting background.
But contrasted with classmates and neighbors who saw him as quiet, reserved, not political, not into guns. It's complex.
Definitely. So what we've tried to do here is connect those dots for you, pulling from official statements, news reports, anecdotes, trying to give you a clearer picture of a really significant, shocking event.
Showing how you can piece together a narrative, even an incomplete one, from all these different sources, the efficiency of the investigation, the human drama of the family's involvement.
It's a case study in rapid response, but also in human complexity.
But here's the thing that really sticks with me and maybe something for you to think about. Even with this rapid capture, even with all these details, the ACT score, the rifle type, the exact words on the casings, the neighbor testimonies, the core question, the why, it still feels distant, obscured.
Yeah.
What does it say about, I don't know, the human condition, maybe? That we can have so many facts, so much data about a person and an event, but the fundamental motivation, the intent behind it all, can remain so stubbornly elusive.
It's a profound question. We have the what, the who, the how, even the when and where, but the why seems shrouded in those cryptic messages and contradictory accounts.
Yeah. It makes you wonder what other complexities are hidden just beneath the surface, things we haven't uncovered yet, or maybe things we'll never fully understand.
It's definitely something to mull over. The limits of our understanding, even when faced with a mountain of information.
Indeed. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's helped you make sense of this complex event and maybe given you some food for thought.